You're listening to the Creating Your Own Path podcast, episode number 102. Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Jen Snyder, the host of Creating Your Own Path, and each week I share conversations with those working in various creative industries. We cover a lot of ground on this show, but the ultimate goal is to unearth the stories of others so that we can uncover and better understand our own. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can also catch a new episode each week at creatingyourownpath.com. Today's episode is brought to you by 2020, where creatives go to find inspiring, authentic stock photos taken by real-world photographers. Head to 2020.com/CYOP for a 7-day trial with 5 free photos. Again, that's 2020.com/CYOP. Today's show is the first in a series that will follow a new format this season. If you listened to episode 100 a couple of weeks ago, you know that I have decided to spend a little more time with each person, or in this case, people, to dive just a bit deeper into their story. What that means is that because there is more to share, you will be hearing from the same people several weeks in a row, and you'll get an even richer behind-the-scenes look at how they do what they do. So, to kick off this new format, I talked with mother-daughter team Dawn Marie and Michaela Hu of Drifter Organics. Drifter Organics is an all-natural skincare line that launched after a very successful Kickstarter campaign. And if you've been in the blogging space at all over the years, you may also know Michaela from her popular fashion and lifestyle blog, Oh My Drifter. In today's portion of the interview, we talk about how Michaela got started with her career at the very young age of 14 and how her mom, a stay-at-home mom at the time, was able to be there for Michaela as she explored her creativity. We also get into how they work together as a team on Drifter Organics, especially since they have very different work styles and personalities, why they launched a skincare line when it was clear that Michaela's first loves were photography and design, and why Michaela's whole career is about asking for help, for opportunities, for support, you name it. This is just the beginning of my conversation with these two, and I am really excited for y'all to have a listen. Here are Michaela and Dawn Marie. So, Michaela, let's start off with a little bit about your background, because I think you might be the youngest CYOP guest to date. Not only do you run Drifter Organics with your mom, Dawn Marie, but you also started your blog, Oh My Drifter, when you were just 14 years old. Will you tell us a little bit about how you got started with blogging and all of that?
I am originally from the East Coast, Connecticut, and I moved out to California with my family. My dad's job transferred him out here, so we all moved out here to California in the Bay Area. And it was just transitioning into my freshman year in high school. And it was a lot of change for me at that age. I'd always been creative, but I never knew anything about blogging, never, like, the whole online world was never on my radar. So one day I was just browsing the internet and I was looking at Flickr when that was still popular. And somehow I clicked on something that led me to a blog that had so much beautiful imagery. It just left me so inspired. Like one of those, the feeling where you can't even breathe. Like it was just so incredibly beautiful. The different photography and the blog had different poetry on it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like it before. And then there was a comment section. So I was reading all about that, different people interacting with each other from all over the world. And to me, that was just the most incredible thing I had ever seen. So I quickly got into following that blog, and then through that blog, sometimes it would be linked to other blogs, and I devoured blogs, and eventually I started my own on Blogger, and pretty much I would post different pictures that inspired me, different artists, anything that I could share with others that inspired me in hopes that I would inspire them too. So it acted as a creative outlet, not only for me, but my hope was that other people would be inspired too, just as I was. So it was a lot of sharing and really interacting with other people around the world, which I had never experienced before. So a lot of my friends in high school were not into the same sort of arts as I was. So it was a way for me to connect with other like-minded creative individuals and really find where my interest in art lay. I was always an artistic person, but I really got into photography after I discovered Flickr and blogs. And that's really what started me into fashion photography. When I was blogging for about 2 years, I decided, you know, I'm really, really inspired by all of these images that I come across online. I want to start doing photography too. Like, I love fashion photography. That was really my sweet spot. I loved Tim Walker's images. I would look at different international magazines and just fall in love with sort of the creating a fairy tale world that was so ethereal and so beyond magical that I knew that I wanted to try my hand at photography. It didn't matter like if I absolutely was terrible at it. I just wanted to try to see if I could create images. So I took some photos of my friends in school and I built a modest portfolio, and I took that portfolio with me when I was 16 and I went to different modeling agencies in San Francisco and I presented my work to them. And all the agencies that I went to really liked my work and they said, okay, let's have you test with some of our new faces. So that's really what catapulted me into photography. I found a lot of different stylists and makeup artists through my blog. So I used that sort of as a starting point because that really enabled me to find other people in San Francisco and even outside of San Francisco that were doing the same, sort of the same thing as me that I could collaborate with. So that's really how I built up my network of different creative people. And I started my entire career in any sort of visual art. It started out as fashion photography, but then it got to be graphic design. Now I started my own business with my mom and I always had my blog. So I'm a fashion blogger and a business owner and I go to school for graphic design. I do fashion photography and a little bit of creative direction for other brands that found me through my blog. So I'm a total conglomeration of anything in the visual arts.
You are. That is a great way to describe what you do. And I'm so curious. I just want to kind of go back just a little bit. You said that you took your photography and you presented it to people in the industry. How? Okay, so there are a lot of people who would not be brave enough to do that. And so how did you decide to do that? I mean, because it's not just you wake up one day and you think, oh, I'm going to go find these people and show them my portfolio. Like, how did that happen?
So I closely followed other people that I admired. I mentioned that I would spend hours looking through Flickr before Pinterest even was a thing. So I would see the credits at the end of like photos that I really liked. I'd see like photographer so-and-so, stylist so-and-so, makeup artist so-and-so, and then model, this model at blah, blah, blah agency. So I was like, oh, okay. So like, if I want to shoot a model, I have to go to a modeling agency. So I looked on Google to find different agencies in San Francisco, took a look at the different portfolios on their websites, and found the contact info for the manager of the new faces, because I figured like I'm just beginning. There's no way I'm going to be able to photograph the bigger names in that were represented by the modeling agencies. Just start out at the base level. So I basically just sent them a cold email. I said, "Hi, my name is Michaela. I run this blog. I'm getting into photography. Here's a link to some of my work that I posted on my blog. I'd love to come and present my portfolio to you in person and talk about testing with your new faces." So basically, that's how it all began.
Okay. Again, at age, like you said, you were about 16 or 17, right?
Yeah, 15, 16, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a really enterprising, like to actually take a look at the credits, see where you can might be able to find this information. I feel like a lot of people just get kind of hung up on that. So it's really cool. It's a cool story that that's kind of how this all started. Dawn Marie, I'm curious about your career path. What has your career kind of journey looked like?
It is not quite as exciting as Michaela's, but I was a stay-at-home mom, really, all the way up until she was probably 20. And when she was going to these different modeling agencies and so forth, I would go with her just sort of as a, you know, just a second person to watch out for things because she was young. That took up a lot of my time, and I was happy that I had the time to be able to be involved in that. So then when she got older, and of course she was doing this basically on her own, then I just work at a part-time job just 2 days a week. And that leaves me time to still be involved in what she's doing with her blog and taking outfit pictures and so forth, and also to help her start the business, Driftjoy Organics.
Right. And so you were almost kind of like her agent. Like were you looking out for things like contractually speaking? So making sure like nobody took advantage of the 15-year-old little prodigy photographer. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes when she would photograph models who were young, maybe like 13, 14, 15, a lot of times their moms came, but sometimes they didn't. And I would always think to myself, that's sort of putting your child out in a vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm. And I was just glad that I was able to accompany her.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that there would be, there could be a weird dynamic there. So you want to make sure that everything's on the up and up, you know? Up next after the break, Michaela and Dawn Marie share more about why they started Driftjoy Organics and what that process was like for two people who basically don't have a lot of experience in developing skincare products. Today's episode is brought to you by 2020, where creatives go to find inspiring, authentic stock photos. If you are tired of scrolling through uninspiring, staged images, please check out 2020. Their images are crowdsourced from real-world photographers, and you can choose from millions of high-quality photos available under a simple, royalty-free license. And look, I am totally committed to working with photographers to create custom content whenever possible. But I've been running into an issue lately that some of you may also be facing. We live and work in a very visuals-driven world, and I'm just gonna say it. Sometimes not having the right visuals for a project or blog post has brought my work to a screeching halt. I've put a ton of pressure on myself to always have new images to use alongside my work, and sometimes I don't have the lead time to hire a photographer for a full-blown photo shoot or the time, props, and other resources to create my own images. That's why I was so excited when the folks from 2020 reached out about sponsoring the show. Not only do they have a huge library of photos to choose from, but I also know that the photographers who submit photos are getting paid for their work, which is really important to me. So, 2020 has created a special deal just for CYOP listeners, and here's the scoop. Simply head to 2020.com/CYOP, that is the word 20, all spelled out, and the number 20.com/CYOP, and you'll get access to a 7-day trial with 5 free photo downloads. No special offer code needed, just head to 2020.com/CYOP. Now, you know, we've talked about Driftjoy Organics, so you just recently launched the line together. So what's the story behind the launch of it? What made you decide to go into, you know, skincare, that specific type of product development?
It was really born out of me and a lot of my health issues. All my life, I've had eczema and a lot of digestive issues. But it was one of those things where if you've had it all your life, that's all you know. And I was just like, isn't that what everyone deals with? Isn't that what every five-year-old deals with, bloating issues? I never really gave it much consideration as like, oh, this is something that I should get checked out, because it was all I knew. I remember having eczema even when I was in preschool. I remember going to school with Band-Aids on my hands because I'd scratch at them at night because they were so itchy that they would bleed. And I was so young then, I didn't have the self-control not to itch. I was just like, it's itchy, I'm going to scratch it. So my mom would take me to the pediatrician to get different creams to put on my eczema. And of course, they were not holistic at all. They were steroid prescription ointments that I'd use on my skin. And they'd always come with a disclaimer like, don't use this for over a week because it thins out your skin. I mean, major red flags there. But we were healthy, but the whole holistic natural beauty thing was not on our radar at all. So I would use the different steroid creams on different parts of my body that would break out an eczema, and it would work for a few weeks, few months, but it always came back. So then I'd go back to the pediatrician, same thing. They would prescribe me something else because I would have built up immunity to the previous ointment. So then it would be the same deal. Use this, but don't use this any more than a week, and then it'll clear it right up. And it was this endless pattern. But the weird thing is that when I moved from Connecticut to California, it went away. So we all thought, well, maybe it has to do with the climate. Maybe it was the humidity in the East Coast, because the East Coast is really humid, and that could really irritate skin. So I thought, okay, well, that's cool. It's all done with. And also, people can grow in and out of allergies. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm done with, maybe that part of my life's over. I don't have eczema anymore. This is good. But I still had my digestive issues. And I was still at the point where, okay, I think that's just normal, because my body's a little weird. But everyone is just like a little, everyone has their quirks. So this is just my quirk. Like I get bloated a lot. And I get stomach aches a lot. I have like an acid feeling in my stomach a lot of times, and I don't know what causes it, but that's just my quirk. So that's what I always thought. But I went to a nutritionist almost 3 years ago, and I got tested for like 70 plus foods, skin patch test.
Oh my gosh.
And the results were so staggering. I tested positive for like 70% of what was on that list. The results come back with like everything that is you test positive for is in red. So I looked at the result, and like the whole thing was practically in red. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't think I can eat anything after this. So the nutritionist said when she sees results like that, her theory is it's leaky gut. And that means that there's something that I had eaten throughout my life that I was somehow intolerant to, but not intolerant enough to notice it. Or maybe it was when I was really young, I would get stomach aches after eating something, but I just didn't make the relation to a certain food. So over time, as you eat that certain food and your body is intolerant to it, it wears down in your intestines. And when that happens, it creates holes in your intestines. And then after that, food can leak out of your intestines.
Right.
So obviously, food's not supposed to be floating around outside of your intestine.
Right.
So then your body starts attacking anything that goes out of your intestines. So anything that you're not really allergic to or intolerant to, it starts attacking. So that's why you can get results that seem like they're positive for testing positive to a certain food, but it's a false positive. So it's not really true. So my nutritionist explained all this to me. She said her theory is that I'm only truly intolerant to a certain number of foods on the list, but a vast majority of them are just my body is completely out of whack, and it's just so confused as to what is a good food and what's a bad food for me.
And so what was her solution?
So I had to go on a super strict elimination diet and eat only the foods that I didn't test positive for. Do that for a month and have probiotics and different supplements like fish oil. She gave me milk thistle and a whole host of other holistic supplements to take to help heal my gut. So after a month, I felt better. And when in that month of elimination too, I also had a look at my skincare products. Mm-hmm. And that's where Drift Organics comes in. So there were a lot of products that I used that had so many nasty ingredients that I didn't even realize. Things that I had to stay away from and things that just were just chemicals. Who wants to put that on their skin? So it really opened up my eyes as to what is on the market for skincare, what we're putting on our skin. And my mom and I went to Whole Foods. We went to different natural grocery stores to try to find different options for me. There's a huge amount of natural skincare, but I had a lot of other complications too. Like I couldn't have citrus
for that month.
Citrus is a common natural preservative in natural skincare. So a lot of different skincare had grapefruit extract or lemon extract, which is perfectly fine for someone who doesn't have so many weird health things or they have to stay away from.
Right.
But that just complicated things so much more. So my mom got into reading all these different natural beauty blogs and DIY skincare. So she's really the one that started making body butters. She got a little recipe and tried experimenting with something because my skin is perpetually dry. Mm-hmm. So we thought, okay, let's start with the body butter, something really thick and deeply penetrating, kind of an all-purpose cream. So that was really how Drifter Organic started.
Okay. It's so interesting what we end up creating because we need it. You know, like this obviously it came from a really intense need. I mean, that must have been quite a month for you to try and figure out what was going on with your body. Okay, so Dawn Marie, you're making these body butters. Like, what was the experimenting process like? I mean, Michaela, were you the guinea pig for all these?
Well, actually, Michaela's dad, my husband, was the guinea pig. At the beginning, it was trial and error. All our body butters were good because they were good natural ingredients, but they didn't always go on good. They were too gritty and grainy. They were oily. So my husband would try them and I could hear him in the bathroom saying, oh, this is like sandpaper, or oh, this is too oily. And he'd be standing there holding his hands up as if to say, well, now I can't touch anything.
I can hear my husband saying these things.
Exactly. So then one time when we finally perfected it, I heard him putting it on and he said, hey, this stuff is pretty good. So then I knew, I think we might have something here. But at the beginning, it was definitely trial and error. I don't have any background in making skincare. And we did pretty well making the scents. We liked the scents that we put together. But they were still, as I said, a little off. So then we consulted with a chemist and she looked at them and she just helped us tweak it just a little bit. And that was what exactly we needed.
Okay. So you work with a chemist. Do you still work with the chemist on your products?
No, she helped us just a couple of times, but then we were pretty much on our own and we were experimenting with different scents and things like that. But the recipe itself, we were pretty pleased with.
That's awesome. Okay, so I have a question. So are you working on Drifter Organics kind of pretty full time? You know, I know, Michaela, you're in school. Like, what does your, I guess, day look like?
No 2 days are the same. I recently listened to a podcast. I'm a huge podcast junkie, but one of my favorites is Gretchen Rubin's Happier. I just love her books and her whole philosophy on different people's personalities and how all of our personalities are hardwired in us when we're born. But that's a whole other different tangent. But I was listening to her podcast and she said that she was talking about two different types of people. There are compartmentalizers and integrators. And compartmentalizers are people who go to a 9-to-5 job that they may not like, but they close the office door and that's it. They are gonna go chill out, go watch Netflix, go hang out with family, friends, and not worry about work until the next day or when the week starts. And then integrators are the complete opposite. They integrate their day with their work. Commonly, they work from home or they're entrepreneurs, freelancers, and their work and personal life blends together and they know no difference. And there's good and bad things to both, but I definitely call myself an integrator. I pretty much work every single day. I don't take weekends, but if I have a day free, like it might happen to be a Wednesday one week, it might happen to be Friday, I might take off a weekend to do something, but my schedule does not follow the traditional Monday through Friday, 9-to-5. I tried to be strict with myself a few times with that, but it just doesn't work. I really like what I do. So it's really hard for me to turn off. And that's one thing I have to really work on. But pretty much every single day, I just do whatever needs to be done. Some days it's the business. Some days it's school. Some days it's the blog. Some days it's a little bit of everything. But actually, in being less regimented and less organized, and that I don't set aside, oh, Mondays has to be school day, Tuesday has to be the business, and just sort of going with the flow and seeing what needs to be done in a certain day actually has freed me a little bit. So I feel like the schedule kind of stressed me out, and that I had to be super strict. Oh, like I can't do this today because it's Tuesday and Tuesday is blog day and I can't think about the business till tomorrow. So I feel definitely more comfortable being an integrator and just kind of getting everything done on my to-do list that needs to get done, whether it be the blog, school, the business, or what have you, or all of the above.
What about you, Dawn Marie? Are you an integrator or a compartmentalizer?
I would say that I'm probably more of a compartmentalizer, if I can say it. But running the business, I think it's almost you have to be more of an integrator because you're not on a schedule as much. It's not a 9-to-5 job. Sometimes, say, an order might come in on a day that you would consider, well, this is my day off. Well, if an order comes in, that's not your day off. It's the day that you have to fulfill the order. And for me, that is a little harder for me to deal with because I am a very organized, scheduled person. So that is definitely a work in progress for me.
Yeah, and so I'm curious if you two consider yourselves sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum there. So what's it been like working together as a team?
I think for me, I think I balance Michaela out more because she can be a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, I call her the yin to my yang.
Aww.
Because I am crazy, but passionate, but I can be over the top. So she settles me down when I get overwhelmed.
Well, that's good because it sounds like you have a lot going on. So have there been any major kind of challenges that you've come up against as co-founders of this company?
I think the biggest challenge was just starting. When you start your own business, there is so much paperwork that you have to fill out. And it's not just like a few pages. It's heavy duty stuff. And starting a skincare business is not the easiest business because you have liability. And in that, we had to think about insurance. We had to get, well, we didn't have to get certified organic, but that was something that was really important to us because I have to be so careful about what I use on my body. I can't buy anything that's not certified organic. Like if a company says, oh, we're organic, it's not regulated by the FDA. So pretty much anyone can say they're natural. Like what does natural mean? Doesn't mean anything anymore because it's so overused. So I wanted to create a product that I would be able to buy. And if we said, oh, we're organic, but we weren't certified organic, then I wouldn't be able to buy my own product. So we had to get certified organic. We also got certified cruelty-free. So those were three major hurdles that had hefty amount of paperwork, a lot of jargon to go Google or email our little cosmetic chemist contact. What does this mean? Help. So she helped us immensely.
That's awesome. It's great to have people like that kind of in your corner. And so, Dawn Marie, did you find yourself sort of, if you're a compartmentalizer, I guess, I could see you helping with the paperwork quite a bit.
Yeah, but it was very daunting because this is something that we've never done before. And with the paperwork to become certified organic, I would read it and I would say, I don't even know what they want.
Right.
So, and that's when we would ask for help from our chemist, and she would kind of direct us.
I know you had the chemist on, like I said, in your corner. Did you find it difficult to ask for that type of help?
No, she was really open-minded about letting us pick her brain. She was very generous about that. She actually is one of our suppliers. So we still maintain a relationship with her regularly, just when we need reorders and whatnot. So we would order something. She is local too, which is really nice. So we pick up a lot of our ingredients and we would do a pickup, and then we'd say, hey, we have a question. We brought some paperwork here. I don't know if you have a few minutes, but we'd like you to look this over. So we would kind of like try to subtly like just ask her like a few things without being overwhelming to her.
Sure.
But she was just such a wealth of knowledge. She's been in the industry for 20 plus years. So she'd take one look at like one question that we had. She'd be like, oh, no, they just mean this. This is just what they're asking. You just have to fill out this. So like that just helped us so immensely. We are so grateful for that. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Such an awesome piece of advice to end on. If you want to learn more about everything Dawn Marie and Michaela are up to with Drifter Organics, you can find everything at drifterorganics.com. And on social media, they are at Drifter Organics. You can also find Michaela still blogging away at ohmydrifter.com. And of course, on social media, she is at ohmydrifter. As always, you'll find everything we mentioned in the show today linked up in the show notes over at creatingyourownpath.com. And while you're there, please be sure to sign up for the newsletter. It's called the Creative Digest. You'll get access to some occasional B-roll interview snippets that I'm not sharing anywhere else, including this podcast feed. I'm not sharing them here. And you'll also get access to your invite to the private CYOP Slack community. The crew over in the community is turning out to be pretty awesome, so you might want to come hang out if you'd like to connect with me and fellow listeners. One more quick note before I share more about next week's episode. Remember that book I mentioned in episode 100? It's called 100 Days of Discussion. Well, it's currently on sale. I decided to offer a special deal for Mother's Day, and it's good through April 23rd. It seemed appropriate considering we have a mother-daughter duo here on the show for the next couple of weeks, so I've got that in the show notes as well. Don't miss out if you want to snag a copy for the moms in your world. Okay, here is a quick peek at what's coming up next week on Creating Your Own Path. You know, there are a lot of people out there who might be wondering kind of if crowdfunding is the right for their project. So you're saying that it was twofold for you.
Oh, yeah. Kickstarter is a really great way to not only get funding, but to get exposure. And a lot of brands will even do a Kickstarter, not necessarily because they need funding, but because they want more eyes on their project.
Yep, we are talking all about crowdfunding, and Michaela and Dawn Marie share a ton of great advice. It is a good one, my friend, so stay tuned. Today's episode is brought to you by 2020, where people like us go to find just the right stock photo. With millions of photos to choose from, you are sure to find what you need. Head to 2020.com/CYOP for a 7-day trial with 5 free photos. Again, that's 2020.com/CYOP. Please remember that aside from supporting the sponsors who make this show possible, you can show your love for CYOP by subscribing, rating the show, and leaving a review. And if an episode really hits home for you, please be sure to share it with your friends because they might need to hear it too. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week.